Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering our show. He's on the other side of the glass, but he, along with I, welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, November 23rd, 2015, the start of the Thanksgiving week here in America. Right at the top of my list of things to be thankful for are you, our listeners. Thanks for your support on the radio for the past 5 years and nearly a quarter of a century before that on TV in this town. So thanks to everybody. We are coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got the podcast for you, the complete show archive over the past 5 years, available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. As usual, we have a very full hour of content for you. We begin with the Monday political face-off, and we'll follow that with a half an hour of wellness information about how to stay healthy during this six-week holiday season that we are embarking upon. Our nutrition reporter, Jack Challum, will welcome your questions. The live line number 790-2040, our Facebook page. Under my name, Bill Buckmaster, you can also now follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Time for the Monday political face-off. Commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and Vince Robigo, longtime Democrat Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, and head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family do such a great job with all your custom frame mirrors, art for the walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Vince and John, how was the weekend?
Terrific weekend, as usual.
Great weekend, except for that loss up north, north of the Gila in the football arena.
Yeah, but Arizona played pretty well for having to play with their third-string quarterback.
They did.
Not bad.
Hey, that third-string quarterback's got a future, guys.
He was doing a pretty good job. I mean, we're without Scooby Wright.
Uh-huh.
Pretty injured team. I was very impressed by how well they played.
They fought, and that was great to see. Yeah. And being able to hold it together. Obviously, I would like to have seen a win, but we are injured. You are right.
Well, both of you are in training for Thursday, of course, for the big meal. So,
yeah, that's right. Oh, I'm on a diet for sure.
Oh, sure you are. Yes, for the meal, all diets go out the window. Governor Ducey, last week, in reaction to the events in Paris, took a pretty sweeping approach, basically saying that he's calling for an immediate halt in the placement of any new refugees in Arizona. Is that a little over the top, Vince?
I think it is. I mean, I think that if you look at what actually happens, and I think there's a lot of confusion as to where people come from, how they get here, and how these refugee programs work. And I'm no refugee expert, I'll say that. But the reality is that the process that people have to go through to qualify first for refugee status, to then be interviewed by Homeland Security, and then be resettled here in the United States is an extremely intensive process.
2-year process.
And the reality is if someone wanted to come here to do an attack, there are far, far more easier ways to do that. Whether it's coming on just a tourist visa for 90 days and overstaying, coming some other fashion, there's so many more easy ways to do that than this program. And so to me, it seems like a very knee-jerk overreaction and misunderstanding of that process in relation to what has happened overseas in Paris. At the same time, I think you also have to understand that with respect to what has happened, and let's say terrorism and so forth in Paris, for example, and of course we had our own situation more than 14 years ago, now we're into the 15th year almost with September 11th. the goals of terrorists are to cause fear and make you change mm-hmm. in ways that they want to see happen. And when over here in the United States we react in that way, I believe, to what has happened in Paris with a total misunderstanding of this process, of the refugee process, and basically saying, stay out, keep out.
You're saying
they're starting to they're being successful. The terrorists are forcing us to change our ways.
Let me add my thoughts.
All right, John.
Vince has used the word process 4 or 5 times. Yeah, we have a process. The problem is we don't have the information. We can generally, in most circumstances, in usual circumstances, typical circumstances, can process refugees because we have the information to process them with. In the case of Syrian refugees, we don't have the information. So all the Republicans are saying is we need a pause, and this is what Congress voted on. We need a pause to see how we can best do this so that the process works and so that we have information. You can't just run people through. And the fear is that you just run people through and say, well, we ran them through a year and a half process, whatever it is, with inadequate information. We know we don't have adequate information. FBI Director Comey testified before Congress just last week. He says, look, we have the process, but we don't have the information to know who these people are. People talk about, there are other ways to do it. Yeah, there are other ways to do it. We are in a war. I believe we're in now with the inadequate process and warfighting capability of the Obama administration. We didn't need to be, but we're now in a third world war. Because we are not fighting these people with everything we have, we need to cut off every means of having terrorists in this country. Yeah, Vince is right. There are other ways for these people to come in the country. We need to cut off every means. And not just say, well, they can come in some other way. That's not good enough for me. I want to stop them every possible way from getting into this country, whether it's across our borders, whether it's coming in and not being adequately processed. All the Republicans are saying, and all Doug Ducey's saying, is we want to be sure that we have not only a process, but that we have the information so we know who these people are. Now, if they're fine people, great, let them in. But we got to know that. People talk about the widows and orphans. Well, I'm worried about our widows and orphans. If we get terrorists in this country, how many people are going to be killed? All you need is one or two. The problem is, and Director Comey said this as well, we have about 1,200 terrorists that they would like to follow in this country, but they only have the manpower in the FBI to follow about 60 of them.
Okay. Vince, one of our Facebook friends is worried that if we admit these people, they're going to take jobs from people living here in Tucson.
You know, that is the reality is that's not the issue. Refugees have a very long process, even when they come here. And so if you're going to say, 10 years down the road, they're going to be getting a job, and we're going to exclude them for that reason. The reality is we have to look at what our values stand for as a country and whether or not this is going to make us essentially with knee-jerk reaction. Let me just say, I don't know if you really feel this way, John, but I just really cannot agree that we are in the midst of a third world war. That is not what's happening. So what I think, though, is we need to back off on that sort of perspective and look at what is really happening. Are there these other issues out there that we have to deal with and fight? I don't disagree that we have to fight extremism and change the culture in which that thrives. But to do so, but you have to be smart on how you do that. And this does not, I don't believe, accomplish that in any significant way whatsoever. When you look at those refugees, I mean, those terrorists that did come, for example, like in 9/11, they overstayed. They were very easy for them to get here.
We need to stop that, Vince.
I understand. I don't disagree with you on that, John. But what I'm saying is to have a knee-jerk reaction And if all they were saying is, hey, let's look at legislation to improve the process, that's one thing. But that's not what's being said.
Yes, that is exactly. If you look at the bill that Congress passed, Vince, it said, let's pause this until we are convinced that we have an adequate process with adequate information. That's all they've said. They haven't said these people can never come in. Doug Ducey is not saying these people can never come in. They're saying we got to make sure that we've got an adequate process. Now, let me go to this issue about the war.
Okay.
You may not be convinced we're in a war, but I got to tell
you. World War III is what I said. World War III. You said World War III,
well,
John.
I think that is just
so far out,
Vince,
there.
Let me tell you. You may say it's way out there, but they are in dozens of countries. And
extremists, terrorists, I agree.
Yeah, well,
that's not
Nazis were extremists as well. And they are all over the world. And we need to fight them. The problem is we are not fighting them.
Okay.
And they are metastasizing because we're not fighting them. It didn't need to be World War III, but it's rapidly becoming.
All right, we've got to take a break. We have a full board of folks who want to get in on the conversation. We're going to ask them to patiently hold on while we take the break here on the Monday Political Face-Off. We'll be right back.
On December 29th, New Year's will come early to Tucson. With ticket sales benefiting local nonprofits, everybody wins at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, December 29th at Arizona Stadium. Details and tickets at azbowlgame.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and I'm afraid I live in a place where some of those scorpions get in the house, and I'm here to report one of the smartest calls I ever made was to my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? The only scorpion the Lehmans ever see is a dead one. Call.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
On December 29th, Tucson will be bowled over, with ticket sales benefiting local nonprofits. Everybody wins at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, December 29th at Arizona Stadium. Details and tickets at azbowlgame.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. Vince Robago is to the left of me, John Munger to the right of me, and a lot of people want to talk about the whole situation, the governor's reaction to the refugee crisis. Let's just go right down the list here, Ray. Let's start with Matthew. Matthew, you're up to the plate. Go ahead.
Yeah, I rarely say this, but I am a veteran, so I'm going to play that card a little bit and say that, Bruce, you are absolutely right to be concerned.
Is John, not
John.
Bruce.
Oh, John. I apologize. Okay. John, you are absolutely right to be concerned. I believe, you know, that most people don't realize how we are in a very scary world right now, and that world extends all the way to walking outside your front door here in the United States. We have been very lucky, but eventually, you know, opportunities will present themselves. But that should be the reason we should be the best country we can be, and I didn't elect 50 governors. I elected one president. And while I don't expect the governors to get in lockstep and do everything that the president wants, they should be working in a conciliatory manner with the president to help him do the best he can to protect the homeland. And so my last point is, we can't let our fears be our reason to rationalize how we react. And I just encourage us to be strong and do what you said. We should vet these people correctly. We might need a pause, but the blanket statements from the governors have been the problem. Thank
you. Okay. Thank you, Matthew.
Matthew,
thank you for your service, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. I'm a veteran also. Let me say this, Matthew. I appreciate your comments. My view of it is everybody on the Republican side is simply asking for a pause. The governors recognize they don't have the power to stop the refugees. They're asking the president, as Congress is, to make sure that we have an adequate informational process. And that's all they're asking for. I think you'd agree with me, Matthew, that if you're in a war, fear is something that exists. And if people aren't, people would be less afraid if we were fighting back, but we're not fighting back. And I think, very frankly, if Americans felt that we were taking it to these people and not letting them come here or threatening us here, we'd feel a lot better about it. Okay. So a lot of the fear that exists today, frankly, is because we are not adequately taking it to the enemy.
Vince?
Well, I would say that it goes beyond just what I think John is characterizing as what's happening with the governor's statements. And so, for example, when you look at what Ben Carson said, who is, if not the leader, either just second to Donald Trump.
He's fallen off quite a bit, I think.
Okay, well, maybe he's fallen down. But just anyway, a week or two ago, yeah, he was one or two as a GOP
candidate. I
think
he may still be number two.
But, he characterized the refugees as in a speech he gave as rabid dogs, and mm-hmm. saying if you go outside and there's rabid dogs in your neighborhood, you're going to put your children inside and you're not going to look too favorably on these rabid dogs. And that was in the context of being asked about whether or not we allow refugees into the United States. So when you have that sort of thing happening, and I haven't gone through all of the governor's different statements, but when you are having this sort of reaction, that's not the right reaction that we as Americans ought to be having.
I got to tell you, Vince, this is all political correctness, and people
calling people that we don't know are rabid dogs.
Let me finish.
A whole group of people.
First of all, that's Democratic spin. He was simply using an example that if you have a problem outside, you fix the problem. And that's all he was trying to say. He may not have been artful about it. I don't care if somebody's offended. I'm tired of this political correctness stuff. I don't care, frankly, if you're offended with the terms he used. The point he made was, if you got a problem, you got to fix the problem.
Okay, we lost one of our calls, Julie, but she may have called back. Let's go back, though, to the next call. Dan is with us. Dan, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your program. I wish they would discuss a couple of items that I'm concerned about. First of all of the Muslim countries, or most of them, around Syria and Iraq, definitely will not take any of these so-called refugees, if you want to call them refugees. They're scared to death to have those people come into their country. And if you notice on the news that these people are not really refugees. Refugees are old people and women and children trying to escape a war zone. These people are young, 80% of them are young men of draft age who know very well how to shoot, and if they ever get to this country, they're going to be shooting up every law office in Tucson.
Okay, a little bit of exaggeration.
Well, I am concerned that the
maybe a long
the,
way.
Well, yeah. I am concerned that the Arab countries are not taking these people in from two points of view. One is they're not taking them in for exactly what you said, sir, that they're afraid of these people. And I'm also concerned because that is the natural place for these, to the extent they are refugees, that's the natural place for them to go. And I think we've got to apply the screws to Saudi Arabia and some of these places to take these people in. The other thing we've got to do is set up safe zones for these people, so they can stay in some safe area in Syria or Iraq. And it's a major failure of American policy that we haven't done that. We should set up safe areas there where they can go and they can stay, and we can protect them so they don't have to leave Syria. It's been a major failure of U.S. policy that we haven't done that.
I would say that I agree that countries that are nearby mm-hmm. over there, whether they're Muslim or not,
they should do their
ought to do their fair share.
Well, and some of them are. Lebanon's taken on 3 million people, and some of them have. But Saudi Arabia hasn't done anything. The Emirates haven't done anything. Pakistan hasn't done anything. I don't think Turkey's done much, and that's a problem. And we need, part of our policy needs to be to apply the screws to these people, and we haven't done that.
Well, and part of the issue, one of the issues, and with some of those countries that are not accepting them, is that the difference. One of the differences is that our country and those European countries that have been accepting them, we are parties to a treaty that we signed. We signed an international law treaty, the 1951 Refugee Convention, which says this is how we define refugees and this is how we handle them. Those other countries, the ones that are not, let's say those countries that are nearby, that the rich Saudi Arabia, these other countries, they're not. They've not signed on to those international agreements.
I don't care whether they
are
or not.
And I think we need to pressure them to sign on. I'm agreeing with you, John. I'm just saying that's one of the differences is so. But aside from that, so when you step back then and say, well, what obligations have we already agreed to? What statements and principles that have we as a country said we're going to agree with these other countries and this is what we're going to do with refugees? And so what, you know, we can't just say, hey, just foist it on them, because we've also agreed
nobody's suggesting
things.
That
and so
nobody's suggesting that. I'm saying that yeah, we can take some refugees on. We need to make sure who they are, that they're not terrorists, and until we have a process and the adequate information, we shouldn't be just willy-nilly letting them in. And that's all Congress's bill says, is let's pause until we have adequate information. When the FBI director himself says we don't have adequate information, we have a problem.
Well, and I don't know the context of everything he said, but what I would say is that this two-year process that they go through, that's where you get information.
No,
that's where you investigate
them. You can't get information where there is no information, Vince. The records in Syria are gone. That's the problem. So we've got to figure out how to do this, and it's not an easy problem to solve. Time isn't necessarily the answer. The answer is information.
Well, I think we do
both agree that while fine, we can process with adequate information process some refugees, it's telling that the other countries in that region have not, and we need to find out, we need to take notice of that they haven't and why they haven't, because these are terrorists. A lot, some of them are at least possibly terrorists. And second of all, these countries, to the extent these people are not terrorists, need to get on board. And part of our administration policy needs to be to do something about that. And third, one thing that we can do is we can create safe zones in Iraq and Syria for these people so they don't have to emigrate. But we aren't doing that either. We basically aren't doing anything.
But John, you have to step back for a second. You make it sound like we're like Iraq is part of, you know, it's like going to Hawaii and we're in charge of that. You know, that's not the reality of what we're dealing with here. We can't just say, hey, Afghanistan, you're creating a safe zone. Hey, Iraq, you're creating a safe zone. All you right. can't put the pressure of being the world's
Why
policeman
can't you?
On us because we're
okay,
not.
Okay, guys.
Well, like let me tell countries. You something.
That's
we,
the reality
we need,
of international
We have
relations.
An international problem here. We need to put pressure on the United Nations. And
putting pressure is one thing. I agree
well,
with that.
But there are, we're not doing any of it.
All right. We're going to take one more call on this topic. And Barbara, I think, has been waiting.
It was an off-air call.
Oh, off-air yeah. call. Yeah. And the question, thank you, Ray. Where do the refugees go during the two-year vetting process was Barbara's question.
Well, I unfortunately think they're caught in a position where they're held in internment camps, yeah. and that's not a pretty operation either.
They're held yeah. in limbo over wherever they're coming from. They're not here, I don't believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure of
that's my understanding.
And Ray, open your mic there. And also, yeah, from a standpoint, there was a concern, one of the Facebook people, about the refugees working.
Yeah, well, so I had talked to our GM, Doug,
uh-huh.
about this, and we had a refugee that was actually came to the studio uh-huh. to, you know, work with us or maybe do some stuff with us, because
right.
we're involved with ministries that work yes. with refugees, and uh-huh. He was saying that refugees can't work for the first year that they're allowed in America.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think that's correct.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ray, for your support, and John and Vince, thank you, gentlemen, as always. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too, Bill, and you too, Vince.
You too.
Thanks
Both
a lot. Monday a Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Moe, we recommend. He is the one. He's the guy. He's the framer in town that does such great work. Check it out, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. 12:32 on Buckmaster on a Monday. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're kicking off Thanksgiving week, the work week anyway, and a shortened week for most people. And of course, one concern that I think all of us have is, you know, we're going to be interacting with a lot of people over the holidays. How do you stay well? Well, that will be our topic number one today as we talk with the nutrition reporter, Jack Chalom. Jack is the editor and publisher of The Nutrition Reporter, an independent newsletter that reports on vitamin, mineral, and food therapies. It always contains a wealth of good nutrition-related information. We'll be talking to Jack about the current issue. Jack is based here in Tucson. We're lucky to have him. He's a personal nutrition coach, one of America's most trusted health writers. He's a member of the American Society for Nutrition and best-selling author of more than 20 books, including Inflammation, The Inflammation Syndrome, and his latest book is titled No More Fatigue. If you would like to join in the conversation about telling us perhaps how you plan to stay well, if you've got some secrets that you would like to share with the rest of us, I would love to hear from you, and so would Jack. 790-2040 is our live line number, and Jack is on the live line today and not in studio. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving, and then, of course, Christmas is 4 weeks right after this Thursday, so it all comes so quickly. But a couple of strategies, Jack, that I would like to share, if you would share with us, about trying to stay well during this period.
Well, there's really a number of ways to approach this. One is, this is probably the most stressful time of year for most people, and they just overdo between work, home, holidays, being with family and friends. You know, it's just nonstop. And I'm sure you and our listeners realize that when we get closer to Christmas, even the traffic starts to get crazy.
Oh, yeah.
people just start becoming impatient. They forget about the holiday spirit. So one is just find some way to de-stress. And it could be as simple as taking a break every hour and giving yourself 3 or 4 deep breaths. Mm-hmm. And just doing that will shift your biochemistry. and will help you de-stress. And if you have to do that every 15 minutes, there's nothing wrong with it. There's no harm from breathing deeply. Number two, I mean, you know, this is kind of like a food avalanche.
Oh, no kidding.
That actually started with leftover Halloween candy for a lot of people. goes through Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, then New Year's Eve. And, you know, some of this is just moderation. And a lot of people say that, but they're kind of fuzzy on what it really means. And in my mind, it means smaller portions, going easy on the carbohydrates, that is the starchy stuff, the stuffing, the desserts. You know, load up on the turkey. Go easy on the stuffing and the dessert. Also load up on the veggies, too. You know, this is also the big cold and flu season, and it really hasn't hit full steam yet. But one of my favorite ways of protecting myself is an antioxidant. You can buy at any health food store. It's called N-acetylcysteine, or simply NAC. And most of the clerks at the Tucson area health food stores will understand exactly what you mean when you ask for NAC. And there have been studies showing that this really boosts the body's immune system to help fight germs. Another thing that helps protect us from infection, believe it or not, are probiotics. These are the good bacteria we find in fermented foods, but we can take them in much more concentrated amounts in the form of supplements. Again, these are sold at every health food store in the area.
There's also a product called Wellness Formula that I've been taking, and I believe it kind of helps boost the immune system, especially during the cold and flu season. Do you know anything about that, Jack?
I don't know anything about it, Bill, but, you know, there are a lot of things we can take to help us fend off all these germs. You know, this is kind of like the gift that keeps giving this time of year, unfortunately. And we'll see a bump in colds and flus probably starting about a week after Thanksgiving, and then it's just going to ramp up right after Christmas and New Year's.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to share with us what you are doing to try to stay well during this holiday season, we would love to hear from you again at 790-2040. We have Jack Chalom with us. Jack is the nutrition reporter. And one thing that people like to do, whether it's Christmas season or not, they like to drink coffee. And there is a new study on coffee and longevity. And Jack, what's the upside and the downside to that story?
Well, I think you've nailed it, Bill. There is an upside and there is a downside. And the upside is this is a brand new study published in a top-notch journal called Circulation. And what the researchers found was that people who had 3 to 5 cups of coffee each day were about 15% less likely to die at any given time. And what the researchers also looked at was what were people dying less from, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, neurological diseases such as Parkinson's, and suicide. Now, the downside is this study really looked at an association, not a direct cause and effect. They couldn't really prove that coffee was responsible. It was simply an association. The downside, as we all know, is coffee is very, very addictive. If someone has heart problems, it's probably not the sort of thing they should be consuming a lot of. Small amounts are okay, three or four Starbucks a day is really kind of a no-no. People who are prone toward anxiety and stress, sleep problems, they probably should minimize their coffee consumption. So, you know, it's really kind of good and bad news here.
3 to 5 cups of coffee a day seems a little bit much.
Yeah, it does. And I start the day with 2 very weak cups of coffee. But, you know, I see, as I'm sure you do, driving around town in the evening, a line of cars at so many of the Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't imagine how these people end up getting a good night's sleep.
Well, I can't either. I mean, and you do see folks at Starbucks at all hours, it seems. And, man, a little bit of caffeine. If I had a little caffeine at night, I would be practically up all night. So I guess it just depends on what you can handle and what the system will go for.
Yeah, and Bill, you know, I should point out that the reason I'm really sort of picking on Starbucks is their brew is very, very high in caffeine.
Yeah.
and has about 2 to 3 times more caffeine than the same amount of coffee you brew at home or in the office.
All right. Before we go off this subject, we had a call. Lauren called, and Lauren did not have time to go with us on the air, but thank you, Ray, for taking his question, and the question is about caffeine. Jack, what is the difference between decaf and caffeinated I've heard decaf still has some caffeine in it.
Yeah, decaf will have about 5 to 10% of the caffeine in full strength coffee. And what's interesting in this study I was describing was that essentially the same benefits occurred in people consuming decaf as in regular coffee. And that makes me think that there may be other lifestyle factors at play here, that it's not just the coffee that's accounting for the longevity.
All right, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. We're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with the nutrition reporter, Jack Chalom, on AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. Be right back.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a 1-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, has the full listing of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses, and the many things to do in the area. You know, if you want to do some Christmas shopping, hey, it's just a three-hour drive over there, and a lot of great antique stores over there, and fine restaurants as well in historic downtown Silver City. And again, just a three-hour drive, a little over three, perhaps, depending on where you are in the Tucson area, but it isn't that far, and it's a great part of the southwestern United States, that southwest corner of New Mexico. Again, the website is southwestnewmexico.org. We have Jack Challum with us. Jack is the nutritionist reporter, puts out a very popular newsletter, and one of the extras in your newsletter, some book reviews, Jack, and a lot of people would like to give and think about giving cookbooks for Christmas, and one of them caught my eye. We've heard a lot about the paleo diet. Well, one of the books is called The Mediterranean Paleo Cooking. So that kind of combines, I guess, a little bit of paleo and a little bit of Mediterranean.
Yeah, it does. the paleo diet concept, which is, I think we should explain a little bit about it. This is the diet of ancient people, and it was basically free-ranging or meat from free-range animals, whatever people could hunt, and whatever people could forage. So it was basically meat and veggies. No bread, no grains, no cooking oils, no sugars or candy bars or anything like that. And the paleo diet and the Mediterranean diet both do so well for people who are putting on weight, who are dealing with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, and people who are dealing with cardio risk factors. And, you know, someone might say, oh, all that meat's going to just have so much fat. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Number one, you know, the paleo diet, the original paleo diet, was game meat, very low in fat. And you could basically simulate that by emphasizing chicken, turkey. Did I say turkey?
Yes.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's just a couple days away. Fish, and heaping amounts of veggies. What's really nice about this particular book is it uses a lot of Mediterranean herbs and spices, so the flavors are much more appealing to a lot of people.
And that book is titled Mediterranean Paleo Cooking by Catlin Weeks.
And the publisher is Victory Belt Publishing. And, well, the paleo diet is often referred to as the caveman diet. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, it's the diet that scientists have been able to determine that ancient people ate. And, you know, I could add a couple more things about it. You know, everything they ate was organic. Mm. No pesticides. You know, this was thousands of years before pesticides were invented. So from so many respects, it's just a healthier diet than what most Americans are consuming.
And you have quite a few books, too, that might make a very appropriate Christmas gift, correct?
Yeah, and a lot of my books and recipes really lean toward this sort of paleo-Mediterranean palate. Stop pre-diabetes now, no more fatigue, the inflammation syndrome. In fact, the inflammation syndrome book is probably the bestseller of all of them, and I just got royalty checks this week for that
just
book.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, time for me to spend it.
There you go. The Nutrition Reporter in your November edition. This comes as no surprise to those of us who have been talking about fish oil and eating fish. Eating fish every day can lower the odds of becoming depressed.
Yeah, you know, this really is not a big surprise to me, but I suspect it is for a lot of people. Cold water fish like salmon and herring, you know, fish of that sort are rich in a healthy fat called the omega-3. And the omega-3s are essential for brain development in infants and children. But, you know, they're important for adults as well. And they help regulate our moods. They foster the creation of quote-unquote good mood neurotransmitters. Eating fish a couple times a week is a great idea. Someone who's got some mood issues might benefit just from taking fish oil capsules every day.
And vitamin D, a couple of articles in the Nutrition Reporter, again talking about the benefits of vitamin D.
Yeah, well, one of the studies focused on people with lupus. And this is what's called an autoimmune disease. It's a disease in which the body's immune system attacks itself. And almost everyone with the disease suffers from joint pain and swelling. And what the researchers found was that the disease activity correlated with their vitamin D levels in the way that low vitamin D basically correlated to more lupus symptoms. Hmm. Women in particular should be on alert because they're the ones at a higher risk of developing lupus. The other study is really just the last of many linking multiple sclerosis symptoms to low vitamin D levels. And part of that is related to sun exposure, and there's a higher incidence of multiple sclerosis as people move away from the equator, that is, that they have less sun exposure over the course of a year. And, living in Tucson, this is really one of the benefits because we've got enough sun exposure year-round to make our own vitamin D, assuming we spend enough time in the sun.
All right, Jack Challen, we're going to wrap it up with you as you prepare for your Thanksgiving meal. Heavy on the turkey, heavy on the veggies, not so much on maybe the potatoes and the rolls. And again, I think you're talking about in moderation.
Yeah, small portions.
There you go. Jack, where can we find out more about you?
NutritionReporter.com. I've got a bio there. I've got lots of free articles. I've got a year's worth of back issues of my newsletter, all free for the download, plus links to Amazon if someone wants to actually order some of my books.
All right. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you in studio in December, right before Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. He's on from 4 to 5. Then we've got, what do we have, 4 hours now of local talk in the morning. 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe. Daily Double with Christy Simone, 8 to 9. And then Sean McCluskey with the Talk of the Town. So you've got 4 hours of local talk. Then I come along a couple of hours after Prager. And then we're here at 12:04 with Buckmaster. So on behalf of my very talented producer, Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.